Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Jared Falwell, good morning.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. We're so excited you guys are coming to the amphitheater. Has anyone told you about this Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport yet?
I don't think so. No.
It's brand new. Right. You'll be like the fourth or fifth band to play it.
Yep.
It is a luxurious, probably one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world, in terms of luxury for the acts.
Yes.
And when you get backstage, you're going to think about this conversation. You're going to say, oh.
Okay.
For the fan, it's $5,000 to $7,000, depending how it's set up. But it'll be $5,000 when you guys play. And it's just so intimate. There's no place in the amphitheater where it's a bad seat.
No.
Where you can't see the band.
Yep. You gotta love it.
We're very excited about it. So
amazing, man. We love luxury. So I'm excited to be backstage in the jacuzzi.
You have to come back out, though.
You know what's funny? You're the second band I brought up this luxury thing, and then they mentioned jacuzzi or hot tub.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you want to be in the... Would you get in it, not knowing who was in it before you?
Maybe. Only because you said we're like the fourth or fifth act.
True.
But when you think about like luxury and rock bands, yeah. The first thing you think is like huge hair and hot tubs.
Right. Right. As long as the Stones weren't in there simmering, you're good.
As long as it's not huge hair in the hot tub.
Oh, God. What is this I just found?
Hopefully not.
Yeah, no.
You guys have one of the most amazing stories of getting signed to a record label. And you're probably tired of telling it, but would you mind telling it again?
I mean, it depends on how far you want to go back. I'll do a brief
kind of thing. Let's go to birth. I remember when it first came out, I saw lights, a guy smacking the ass.
Yeah. No, our dad was an evangelist preacher, and so we kind of just grew up traveling around, going from church to church, and he would preach revivals and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that part. And then my brothers got into country songwriting, and we moved to Nashville. And then they realized that I was super cool and that I kind of turned them on to cooler music. I'm kind of being facetious about me being super cool. I'm
That's
not
okay.
That cool. But
we didn't know if we should laugh.
Just run with it.
Yeah.
I believed you
I
the
didn't
entire time.
Laugh over your
I
story.
Do believe.
But what did you turn them on to? They're, like rock music?
They were kind of in country, and I was doing more like kind of like the Pixies, I think I turned them on to. And
nice.
Television, and I mean a huge array of music. So they thought that maybe I was cool enough to try to be in the band. And so I learned how to play the bass. We got our cousin Matthew to start playing guitar. Actually, he had already kind of had a few lessons, and we got him to join and went to New York and got signed to RCA, and they saw something in us. They were probably idiots, but it paid off for them.
It paid off.
See?
But this,
we were a weird band.
But listen to this, AJ. Jared didn't play bass.
No.
And whatchamacallit didn't play guitar. Like, they just learned it.
Right. Crunch time.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people learn how to play guitars, and then they play bars for 18 years.
They took a different route.
Right. There was some story floating around that the record label said, hey, we want to sign you two guys, your two brothers. And they said, come back in a month. And we'll have a whole band here for you, because they didn't want to be like, you know, whatever, Simon and Garfunkel, or
right.
name two guys, Hall & Oates, whatever.
Sonny and Cher.
Yes. Cher.
Salt and Pepper.
Yes. They didn't want to be Sonny and Cher.
No, they didn't.
So they get you guys, and you guys just hunker down in a basement, smoke weed, and rehearse your ass off. And the record
Correct.
Label comes
yeah.
back and listens to you guys and says, okay, we're in.
Pretty much exactly, yeah. We had a plan of... Like, so the record label kind of agreed, and they're like, if they can do it, they can do it. And so we had an EP scheduled to go record, and I had 1 month to learn the bass. And so I did. It's exactly like you said. I just went to my mom's garage and played hours every single day.
How old were you?
And then 15.
Wow.
So what did you leave school, or was this in the summer?
I kind of knew I wouldn't go back to school. My mom didn't, and just slowly but surely, I kind of talked her into it. I think I like told her, I was like, listen, I can finish high school, I can go to college, hopefully get a good job and make a lot of money, or I can cut out a lot of that middle stuff and just get a good job right now and make a lot of money, And then in the first year of being in the band, I made $500.
See? So. There you go. You proved it.
You said $500, yeah. Not $500,000.
Right.
Correct.
That's where I thought he was going.
And your brother said, oh.
I think I wrote that part.
Jared Falwell, bassist for Kings of Leon, on the show. They're coming Tuesday, August 17th, Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. That is some story. I mean, when you tell that, you still, you must be surprised, right? A little bit like wow, I can't really believe I did that.
I did that, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it does. I mean, it feels fake. I'm sure a lot of people who kind of have success stories, you look back on it, and it does seem fake. It's just like you just like stumble into stuff. It feels like you're just like falling down a hill and you get to the bottom of it and you're on your feet and you're like, I have no idea how that just happened. But you know, everybody else sees you like running perfectly down the hill.
So many stories that start with, oh, wow, they were an overnight success, but they were a 10 to 20 year overnight success.
It's a long overnight.
So it's literally, here's a bass guitar, learn how to play because a record company's coming and you
no pressure.
Did it.
No pressure.
Wow. Yeah, there is a lot of pressure involved there.
Yeah, that's it's really remarkable.
Yeah,
and not just a bass player, an excellent bass player.
Right.
And it's all family members in the band, right? So it's three brothers and a cousin.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. It's my brother Caleb sings, Nathan plays drums, and then our cousin Matt is on guitar.
Well, that's good.
Is that annoying sometimes, or is it great all the time, or how does that work?
Oh, bathroom habits, things like that.
It's awful.
Now, don't hold back. Let us know how you feel.
No, it's great. We've talked about it a lot. I'm sure that, you know, we probably have argued more, but it's just a lot easier to make up, you know, like we argue right. Probably as much as any brothers would if they had to work together 24/7.
Right.
It's harder to leave the band.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm going to go solo. But right. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is so awkward. Hey, Thanksgiving. How you been? Good? Yeah. No.
Now, have you, who did we talk to? The band that's all brothers. You know who I'm talking about, the fan.
Yeah,
Greta Van Fleet.
Yes, Greta Van Fleet. Yes, thank you. AJ was no help there. Jared was more help. Thank you.
Wow, you weren't spitting out words yet.
That is true.
Do charades. Sounds like two words, two syllables.
But we're asking them about fist fights on stage.
Go on, I can't help you.
Yeah. Like the Ray Davies and, oh, we were talking to the Black Crowes too, right?
Yep. Yes. We talked to a lot of brother bands lately.
Yeah, we've been talking to family bands.
Yes. We've definitely talked to Dave Davies before too.
Yeah,
we did.
Partridge Family on our list.
Right.
but you guys, have you had a fist fight or a really bad fight before you went out on stage or on stage?
No, not necessarily on stage or right before. It's usually after. None that have gone on to the stage. Probably some that, you know, it started on stage and a couple of looks and like a mess up. And then you say something about it. But we haven't gotten to a fight in a long, long time. And I'm hoping that we'll have zero in the future.
Right.
I think we're kind of hopefully moved past it. Because now, like, if I walk upstairs, my ankle hurts or, like, I get a shooting pain in my hip.
Oh,
this fighting thing just isn't working for me. I'm getting older.
I'm too tired to throw a punch.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
All right, I have some random questions here for you.
No math.
We're talking to Jared, bassist for Kings of Leon, coming to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. Tickets on sale. There's still some tickets available.
Grab them.
Make sure you do. Oh, what a great place to see them, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Woo!
Ashley wants to know about this one, Sex on Fire. There's lots of rumors about what that song's about.
Yes.
I think it's just Caleb talking about, I guess, having good sex with his wife. And it's definitely not about an STD, although we did like kind of joke about that and we do get it, but it's not actually about an STD.
I spent many nights in college arguing exactly that point.
Well, you know what? You get a part two.
Wow.
Sex on Fire part two.
Now we know why she really doesn't know much and has a master's degree. She spent her time, instead of in the books.
Right. I was fighting about
Kings
Sex on
of
Fire.
Leon lyrics.
Yeah, you can't joke with the media. They it gets printed and then it's
Then it's real.
It becomes real.
Yep. I need a retraction.
Yeah.
Yep.
The name of the band is a really cool deal. Did you just chuckle? Did I? Is this another folklore?
What just happened now?
The name. No.
Okay. The name of the band.
We used to get really stoned all the time.
Okay.
We kind of came up with this.
Can I just say, side note on that, we have our vice president of programming, used to work at WEFX. And can you hear him? Oh, no. Oh, no. He used to work at a station in Boston.
Yeah.
And apparently some of your guys came in the morning in studio. He thinks on acid, but it could have been, you know, weed.
Those walls always melted.
Yeah, not acid.
Wait, in Boston?
Yes.
Were we touring with you two? Just wondering. I'm not saying we
did
that.
Probably. It's Keith.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe once.
Maybe it didn't really happen.
All right. See?
No, but we...
Where are your pants?
No, the name, our grandfather's name is Leon, and our dad's name is Leon, and so we kind of just... We came up with this idea about like a street gang, and it sounded really cool in our heads. And I mean, it's honestly a pretty bad band name, but it's still with us.
Right. No, I think it's great.
Could have been Spawns of Leon.
That's
it doesn't
worse.
Sound
like
as tough.
Gladiator movie.
Right, the Spawns of Leon.
With all that acid, it could have been anything.
It could have been a lot worse.
Oh my God, a giant frog!
All right, let's talk about this dog. It was stolen from a yard in Meriden, reunited with its family thanks to some smart thinking. It was a Yorkie named Cookie.
Aw.
And on the phone right now is Detective Lieutenant Shane Phillips with the Meriden Police Department. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning. Yeah,
nice work on everyone's part there.
You returned the cookie.
Thank you. Yes, Cookie was returned. It was really a team effort, a collaborative effort between the family and us. It was a really great story to bring the dog back to its family.
How did it begin? The dog's out in the yard.
Yeah, so we're leaving some of the details of the theft kind of vague because it's still an ongoing investigation. But, yeah, the dog was stolen on a Wednesday. You know, credit goes to the family. There's hopefully a future former mayor detective out there, 16-year-old kid, who found this posting and made us aware of it. So once it gets to us, Lieutenant Darren McKay gets the phone call, realizes we need some more resources. We call some detectives in to set up Operation Cookie Swap.
Operation Cookie Swap.
Right. You want Cookie Crumble, be bad.
Was there a meeting with a pointer and people in the room?
Everything,
okay.
Right.
That's what's going to do, see?
You're going to dress the dog, see?
How much how much was Cookie on the market for?
Cookie was on sale for $1,800.
Wow.
Whoa!
That's per pounder.
Yeah.
Are they worth that much?
You know, we don't know. We've seen in the past some of these small dogs are generally very expensive.
Very boutique, yes.
Wow.
They and, have a big price tag.
Wow, that's ballsy. How, what was the time difference from when the dog was stolen to when it was online?
It took a little while. Again, some of those details we're going to leave a little vague just because we're still working on it. So it was the timing was definitely part of our decision making to help us feel confident that this was Cookie that was the Yorkie for sale.
They were named Brownie, by the way, just so you know. Yeah.
So you didn't use Meriden Police to pull off Operation Cookie Swap?
We did. We did use Meriden detectives. Just the apprehension occurred in Meriden, which is why we brought New Britain on.
To dress in plain clothes and stuff like that. That's cool.
So somebody reaches out to this person, says, I'd like to buy that dog.
Correct.
Right. And then you show up at that house or a neutral location?
You know, in today's day and age, even as police, we're worried about maybe some sort of misconduct. You're worried about getting robbed. So we decided to meet in a neutral public place. And there, you know, we made contact with the seller.
Can you imagine if you guys went to do this swap and then you got robbed?
That would suck.
That wouldn't be a great story.
That'd be kind of
not a good look for us, no.
No, not a good look. So smart on you to do that.
Right.
So one person, one detective undercover shows up, or is it multiple? Are you like the places surrounded with cops? How does that work?
Yeah, there's some tactical considerations that we put into play to make sure that we're safe. You know, we generally don't do anything alone, so we made sure we conduct this in a safe fashion, you know, for ourselves and for the public. So.
And so you grab the you go to do the exchange, and how do you know you have the dog, or do you just take the person and say, "Hey, we have some questions. We're going to bring you downtown and sort this all out."
So this is kind of unique in that, you know, Cookie had some very distinguishable physical characteristics. So in order for us to determine those, we had to, put hands on him. So, you know, once we can actually hold Cookie and you know, kind of identify some of those characteristics, it was very clear that this was this Yorkie was Cookie.
And instead of a lion, just had her like sniff his hiney, right? Okay.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Instead of a lion, just had her sniff his hiney. Yep, that's him.
So anyway, once you realize this is Cookie, do you tell this? Do you arrest the person, or do you say we'd like to bring you in to just kind of sort this all out?
Yeah, so there's, you know, because of from when the theft occurred to when we located Cookie, there's several days that go by. So at that point, an arrest will be done by warrant, but it is still active and ongoing to determine exactly who's responsible, you know, what criminal charges apply. So, you know, it's still ongoing, but, you know, we wanted to get that good news out there for this reunion. And it really was a collaborative effort between, like I said, not only the public and the police department, but also, you know, the Meriden Patrol Division and Detective Division.
That's
you know,
a lot of work.
Seriously.
No, but it's a great story because normally you hear a dog was stolen and then that's the last part of the story.
Right.
And that you got the dog back is great. Now, I know this is still under investigation, but I'm guessing that the person who was selling you the dog says, I didn't do it.
I just found it.
I decided to sell it. Walking right by the house.
Yep.
Yeah, there's always some deniability to create a buffer between themselves and the criminal act. So just know, I think at this point, all the players involved have been identified and just sorting out exactly who's going to be responsible.
That's great. So what do you start checking neighborhood security cameras and whatnot to see, you know, the pinpoint time, person, vehicle, that kind of stuff?
Dog park?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of, you know, different avenues we're going to pursue. You know, a key driver for us is cooperation. So interviewing is super important. So, you know, just for any kind of case, this obviously has a positive resolution. But, you know, we're always looking for cooperation from the public. We're eager, the Meriden Police Department, to work with people to solve cases, understanding no case is too small for us. This is, we view it as a kidnapping of a family member.
Yes.
You know, we want to make sure we get them back to their family.
Dog napper, yes.
Wow. So how do you get people to talk when you have them in the room?
Offer yummy.
It's like, hey, you know, you're looking at 3 days in jail.
At least.
Fine for something like this. You better talk.
Yeah, so I think you guys know you're getting me to talk right now, so you know how it works. But no, you know, there's some techniques we're gonna keep close to the vest, but generally cooperation and honesty do go a long way.
Yeah.
I think most police officers, detectives, are very understanding. You know, it's not a letter of the law all the time. It's having a strong understanding of what's appropriate. So you know, I think for us, cooperation is definitely I think rewarded.
What do you? What is the crime for dog napping?
So a larceny. There's a specific charge for theft of a dog, but it's treated as a larceny most times.
Okay. Huh. Wow. Nice work.
Yeah.
I just think it's a great story.
Cookie's happy now.
Cookie's back.
Right.
That's horribly sad. Can you imagine?
Oh yeah.
I couldn't imagine my pet just gone. Like
I'd
gone.
Freak. I'd freak.
Yeah.
So
smart
really
on
nice
them
once
to
we,
like look for the,
I
on
agree.
These sites, right?
I agree. I think that's a key component, the identification of the ad, and then also their persistence to say this is our dog. From a couple pictures on the internet, they were very confident this was Cookie. So I think that, you know, without these key pieces, right, without Lieutenant Darren McKay calling in more resources, without the family finding this ad, this doesn't happen, and we don't get this positive story.
What were you there for the reunion?
I was just going to bring that up. So as we were driving Cookie to meet with the family, as we drove by the family, Cookie saw them through the window and started going crazy. Just seeing the family. It was really nice to see.
Did she pee? Did she pee a little?
I don't think he did, no. Okay.
Oh, it's a he. Oh,
yeah,
it's
Cookie the boy.
Hey, my dog would do that too, so.
I do that sometimes.
Yep. You still do.
Wow. Well, Detective Lieutenant Shane Phillips, Meriden PD. Nice work, everyone involved. It's a happy ending, and I like these stories, so I'm glad you came on to tell it.
Thank you guys very much. Take a minute, just let you know, if you want to work for an outside of the box thinking agency, progressive organization, the Meriden Police Department is hiring police officers, dispatchers, crossing guards. You know, we're trying to move forward, and, you know, we appreciate you guys' support.
All right, wait a minute. So police?
Wow.
You're looking for police. Crossing guards?
Ashley, hey.
Yes.
That doesn't sound bad.
Crossing guard.
You get to hold a sign. Stop.
Little yellow vest?
Yep.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing? City Hall?
Dispatchers.
What was it?
Dispatchers. 911 dispatchers.
Right.
Oh. I don't want to be that person who ends up the 911 call gets played on the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a very hard job.
It's not
easy.
Yeah. Can't go to the bathroom or nothing.
Yeah. All right. We'll put a link on our site if you're interested in those jobs.
Absolutely.
People are looking for jobs. So, good. All right. Thanks
again. Thank
you
guys
very
much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. We're always behind you guys and girls. Nice work. Wow. This was a very personal sermon over the speaker on an American Airlines flight. He didn't fly the plane. He was, I believe, a passenger on the plane, but he works for American Airlines as a pilot.
Yeah.
So he was flying his own airline.
Right.
Not flying the plane, but he was a passenger.
Right.
And then he said, hey, can I use the...
can I say a few words?
You mind if I speak a little bit?
He said, yeah, sure, go right ahead.
It was a three-minute deal.
Damn.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
And he shared very personal details about his struggle with his sexuality and abuse he endured as a young boy.
I was raped or molested as a young boy. It does not matter whether it was... You can go ahead and go if you need to. It does not matter whether it was a family member or friend or stranger. It happened, and I was left to deal with it alone. I screamed to God every night that he would take away my sins and thoughts and resulting homosexual tendencies. My life kept spiraling out of control. I became a sexual addict and turned to pornography. That's okay. I'm sorry if you're uncomfortable. I just want you to hear me. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I became a sexual addict. Turned to
whatever happened to thank you for flying our airlines and have a nice day.
Hope you'll fly us again.
Right. Thank you for flying with us. We'll see you again soon.
Was this the best forum for this?
I don't think so.
Seriously, right?
Well, go see a doctor.
I know you want to talk to somebody.
Get the help you need.
Yeah,
definitely need to talk to someone, but...
You can do Zoom sessions now. You don't even have to leave your place.
Yeah, the intercom on the plane, probably not the best idea.
This is... what do? Do you sit there and listen?
I guess. You thumb through the magazine.
You don't want to get up and walk out, it seems.
Right, although it sounds like people were.
Yeah, some people were like, okay.
Yep. I got to catch a connecting flight. Yeah. I got to catch a connecting flight. Listen, I'm sorry about your life.
Yeah.
But listen, I got to go. I got this thing I got to do.
It's weird.
Imagine he's still talking. The entire plane is empty. Even the crew left. He's still talking.
It'd be worse if he was, you got on the plane, they closed the door, they're rolling down the runway, and he's about to pull off, and it's the captain.
Right. I'd be like, I will kick the window out. I will open the emergency door so they have to stop the plane.
I don't think he's going to land this where he's supposed to land it.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if he's paying attention to the right instruments right now.
That's why when I walk on an airplane, I look right at the pilot to see. They look refreshed.
Right.
Everything looks good. Hair's
is he
all nice.
Sweating.
Right. There's no tan line where his wedding ring used to be.
That is a good one.
Yeah. I make sure I'm like, your life is
good. He doesn't look like
he's
been crying all night.
Life is good. You don't reek of alcohol.
Yeah, no smell of alcohol permeating from the cockpit.
Insurance papers sitting on the seat back there.
He's got a white knuckle grip on a rosary bead, you know?
Exactly, right. Yeah, he sure looks like he slept
in it. Reading the Bible.
Right. Is that grass in your hair? Do you sleep outside in the lawn?
Right, shirt's all wrinkled.
Right, there's a branch that's going to be shirt. Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a look that you want to see when you look in there.
Yes, I want to see, like, you know,
of calm and professionalism.
Exactly.
And confidence.
Right. Almost robotic-like.
Right.
Yes.
Well, there's no way American Airlines lets this guy fly a plane again.
No way.
No.
No. Because if something happens, even if it's mechanical, it's like, oh, man, wow, you should have known.
Yeah, come on.
He's working in baggage now.
Yeah, you were that guy.
I'm guessing, yes.
This pilot spoke about, do we want to hear this other clip? Yeah, let's hear.
Just over 1 year into our marriage, I began to give in to the pressure of being gay. I asked other gay crew members questions about their lifestyle and what led them to becoming gay. Pretty soon, I was taking part in that lifestyle.
You can hear people are like, okay, we heard the first minute.
Right,
we get it.
Yep,
it's horrible. Sorry, man.
Right.
Can I have another ginger ale, please? Sorry.
No.
I'm going to grab my bag out of the overhead and just be on my way.
Yeah, so I got the connecting flight. I got to get my bag, my baggage. I got folks picking me up. I got to go.
Mm. Yeah, listen, I got that car outside.
I got that thing, right. I got an Uber coming.
Are you still offering headphones?
There's that guy with the sign, my name on it. Mm. Which name? Looks like Smith. That's it, yeah.
You know what happens when this happens? Well, you get the person who, get my cell phone out.
Right.
But then you get the, not going to make any eye contact.
Right.
I'm going to act like this isn't happening. I'm just going to.
Right.
Those are people who have ridden public subways before.
Yes.
I know.
They're pros.
I'll pretend I'm having an argument on a cell phone. Damn it, Bill. That works, by the way.
Well, not talking about this guy, but a lot of these people are making these announcements in these stores, and we don't really care.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a problem with they think they're important.
Yeah.
Like, just so you know, no one cares you're quitting.
Yeah. I'm quitting my job at Hardee's. Oh, no. Really?
Hardee's. Are they even open now?
Yeah, they are. Rest stops.
Are they really? Oh, okay. Yep. I like them.
Double R Bar Burger. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, can you step aside?
Yeah.
I know this is an important moment in your life,
right,
but not mine.
Right.
I'm here for a cheeseburger.
I'm hungry. I only have so much time.
I want some French fries, some onion rings, and a cheeseburger.
Gotta get back on the road over here. Yeah.
Right. Get out of the way. You're keeping people from doing their job.
Right. Hey, while you're quitting, you want to hand out some free stuff? Like, I'm right here.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Stick it to the man. Give me a burger for free.
Yeah. Got some coupons back there?
Right.
You're just handed. I'm not picky. Like, just whatever you got.
Just give me whatever's handy.
Whatever's close isn't warm. Yeah. We're good.
Veggie wrap. All right, now I'm picky.
Now I see why you're quitting. You're a jerk.
Yep. Having the wrong crap over here.
Yeah.
What's the matter with Joe?
I somewhere in my computer have a radio person quitting on the air.
Oh, is it that lady?
You never get hired in radio after that.
No, you don't.
Like, you're done.
Nope.
And this guy's never going to. Sorry, man. It was horrible. And you need therapy or you need to talk to someone. But.
Right.
Any, let's see, Bob's Airline and Lawn Care. Let's go.
Yep.
Oh.
You're that guy.
Yep.
Okay, let me take it.
I find it's best
file that over
to go in the parking lot, yell and scream, and then do a burnout.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's every day for you.
That's what I
do. So let's talk about this Bluefish tournament.
Right.
And we're going to bring on a guy who doesn't fish for Bluefish. He uses them as bait.
Oh, for other fish.
Yeah.
Damn.
Matt Paracchio is a charter captain on Cape Cod. Not just a charter captain. He is the best charter captain.
Ooh.
And he's been doing it for 9 years. And his buddy was the guy who was swallowed by the whale.
Right.
Right.
Briefly, right.
All right. Hey, Matt.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Thanks. I don't know. Where do we start? So do you catch the bluefish that you use as bait or you buy them off of others?
No, we'll go out and we'll just catch 6, 7, or 8 bluefish and put them in the bait well.
Okay, that's great because you make it sound easy. Like we go out and we get this bait and then we go out and try to catch the real fish. So what's your secret of going out there and just getting bluefish? Like it's like just another day. Like I'm going out to get the night crawlers.
Right. Well, Cape Cod's a little different than Long Island Sound. You know, it's much more plentiful, with our resources up here than Long Island Sound tends
to be. All right, you bragger.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We know Cape Cod.
My water's better than your water.
Yeah. Right. All right. So I know what you're saying. It's easy.
I grew up in Monroe, so.
Okay.
All right. You're a hometown boy.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Continue.
But, I mean, we use multiple things for bait out here. You know, bunker, which is the same bait you see in Long Island Sound, mackerel, and bluefish, because tuna tend to not be that picky. They have to eat constantly, so they'll eat anything in front of them.
Wow. So don't be swimming in front of them then.
You know? Yeah.
That sounds like me.
Huge, yep. Huge fish.
Except for salad. You know. Like healthy stuff I shy away from.
Yes,
like, yeah, that's not good for
right.
You.
Now.
So easy to catch. How do you catch your bluefish?
If we want to catch them quick, we'll catch them with something called an umbrella rig, which is looks like a cross with either 4 or 8, you know, tubes or lures hanging off the back of it. And it has, you know, 4 to 8 hooks on it. So you can catch 3 or 4 at a time.
So they like something shiny?
Yes. Bluefish like something shiny and they like something fast.
All right, so tape a quarter to it. Yeah.
Shiny and fast.
Right. I mean, bluefish are extremely, extremely aggressive fish.
So what do they normally eat that's shiny and fast?
In Long Island Sound?
Yeah.
In regards to the tournament? Yeah. Bunker.
Okay.
You know, bunker, come with many names, menhaden or pogies.
Right.
But big schools of bunker. You see them in Captain's Cove all the time.
Yeah. I see them in Port Jeff also. Yeah. They're jumping out of the water because there's bluefish
yeah.
nearby.
They're like, help.
Yeah, I mean,
get me out.
I mean, like, boom, they're like jumping out, like, help, help, help. Right.
The sound is.
Exactly right. And that's what comes from the mouths.
Yeah.
That's what we hear. But yeah, at their level, it's just.
Help.
Yeah.
That's their main bait in the sounds, their main forage.
Oh, wow. What's the biggest bluefish you caught?
Me? Over the years, probably, not crazy, probably 17 pounds,
that's
16 pounds.
Yeah.
What did they say, Phil, was the one that won? It's like 20-something, right? Low 20s?
Yeah. I think we've even had some in the teams that have won, so it depends on the year.
It's gotten smaller over the years.
Yeah. Why is that?
It used to be.
Because we're catching them?
I think it's the popularity of fishing over
what
the years.
What was that?
Really had to be here or what?
Is there a seal by you?
Fishing has become so popular in the past 10 years since the introduction of social media.
Right. And everybody wants to have their own fishing show.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Everybody, you know, Instagram stars and stuff like that. So,
that reminds me of Texas Hold'em. This gets on TV, yes. And then everybody wants to be a Texas Hold'em television star.
Jazz is a perfect example. Like when Chris Moneymaker won the World Series the first time, it became insane. And everybody wanted to play Texas Hold'em after that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What was the show was there a show for fishing that put everyone in on that track?
I can't think of a particular one.
Yeah, there was a lot. They came out with a fishing channel,
right.
Like a network.
There was a guy, Bill something, that has really funny bloopers. I can't think of his last name.
Mm. Oh, there's guys with YouTube channels that I know that they're extremely good at production. I mean, these guys are up in the mid to high six figures with income just from YouTube.
Really?
You know what's funny?
Wow.
It seems like... It almost feels like stand-up comedy, right? So the stand-ups who have worked the clubs, worked their way up, really worked on their craft.
Make
and
it look easy.
Honed it. You know, they've done the work. And then these kids just come out, and they're not even funny, but they're able to make a good video.
Right.
And they're filling up clubs.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like this is the same thing in the fishing world, right?
Yep.
You couldn't have described it better because I've done a lot of shows with the guys with these particular channels and none of them are really fishermen.
Really?
They're most of them are very good at production.
Yeah.
Well, use them for bait, apparently.
Well, there's some key elements, right? They have to be decent looking, right? And then they, you know, whatever. They have that.
They have to have a personality.
Yeah.
They have to have videographers. A lot of them are divers. You know, that get suited up and get into the water.
Right.
I mean, they know what they're doing. They're not, you know, I wouldn't say they're fishermen.
No, they know what they're doing, correct.
They're, you know, they're YouTube people. Yeah.
There's always a level of sheen or glamour that is added that maybe doesn't exist.
Right.
Right, like dramatic music.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, like I feel like Matt wouldn't fake stuff.
No.
Because he has integrity.
Right.
Where if you want to be a YouTube star, it's like, oh, no, we're going to have to do it if we want people to watch.
It takes 14 hours to reel that porgy indefinitely. Yep.
Yes. I mean, my three main goals for people on charters are: one is to have fun, two is to stay safe, and three is to catch fish.
I like how you put catch fish third.
Right.
It is. Because if you're not safe, you know, Ashley yesterday was asking me funny stories. I was thinking of one where a guy fell off the boat last year.
Oh.
We're just drifting along, and he just fell off the boat. And I turned around, and I said, whoa, what happened? And we picked him up. It was pea soup fog out, and he lost bearings because of the fog. He couldn't put a bearing on anything, so he almost developed vertigo being out there because of the fog.
Yeah.
And he actually fell off the boat again. We made him sit down.
Yep.
Afterwards,
I would think the first time I'd sit down. I wouldn't need a second time.
Yeah, really.
After the 700th time.
Yeah, I'll be in the hold having a sandwich.
Right.
It's funny, that's after the second time you have to tell him to sit down. It's like, yeah, maybe you should.
Yeah, he lost everything. He lost his phone. He lost everything out of his pockets.
Wow. Oh, my God.
You know?
My brother got drunk and fell off a boat.
Oh,
and,
no.
And he lost his phone.
Right.
And we pulled him out of the water. And then for the rest of the trip, we were like, wait. Is that your phone? I hear your phone ringing down. Oh, he was pissed.
There's a crab answering it.
Yeah, not happy.
Get the rod over here. I see it.
Right. That's one other thing is I don't allow drinking on the boat.
Oh.
You're very serious.
It's a liability.
You just lost Chaz.
it's a liability for me.
Gotcha.
So if the people put a hook in their hand, they go over, they hurt themselves, you know, that all falls back on me.
Yeah, it's not that kind of charter. Like, you're out there to,
fun, and catch.
You
can be on the way home if you want, you know, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
We got the best charter captain on all of Cape Cod, possibly the world.
Yes.
Matt Paracchio on the phone. I was just checking out his Instagram, because we're talking about the Spectre Eye Care Greatest Bluefish Tournament on Earth happening late August this month. And people like to wait last minute. Just, why do you got to do that?
Yeah, just jump in.
Just do it.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of? Rain?
Exactly.
Have something to look forward to.
It's better to fish in the rain.
How about plan? Really? Matt, I'm following you on Instagram here. And, wow, I could see why you're the best on Cape Cod. Some of these, they're almost unreal. Some of these, the size of these tunas.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
That's big bucks right there, too.
I mean, you know that funny line in Jaws? We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
I feel
like there's some of these where you must have thought that.
Yeah. It's the reason I have this boat is it's extremely fast. It has a lot of room inside of it. And we don't go far from shore. I mean, some of those fish you see were in like 40 to 50, 60 feet of water.
Wow.
You know, we're only a couple hundred yards off the beach sometimes.
That's amazing.
Is that sushi grade by any chance?
They're the size of people.
Nice.
It's insane.
Yeah.
All
the ones that are 3 inches and over go to market, and all the ones that are under 73 inches go to the customer.
Nice. All right, so Tighten Up Charters on Instagram. The May 19th post, that fish.
Which one's that, Chaz? Oh, that
third
one
to the left.
that one ate a bluefish.
Wow.
One ate a bluefish. That one actually ate the bluefish and it took the line out of my hand.
Damn.
Now, if you're in a bluefish tournament and you catch a bluefish and then a tuna jumps on the line like that and you pull that out, do you still weigh the bluefish? Or just the...
I would.
Question.
Why not?
What's the math on that?
Why
one?
Not?
Yeah.
Try it.
Wow.
The bluefish tournament, there's no excuse why the guy shouldn't do it. I mean, it's a minimal entry fee, and you have a shot at
$25,000.
$25,000!
Nothing else. It's a fun day.
Right. And there's, you could get, anybody could get lucky.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So there's no excuse why anybody shouldn't do it.
You don't have to be Matt Paracchio.
You're all equal.
You could be.
Right. You don't have to be great at anything.
You
could just go out with. Get lucky.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my thing. You don't have to be great at anything. Just go out and get lucky.
Wow. That's my mantra.
Just go out and get lucky.
Yes.
You know? And usually the biggest bluefish that are they're weighed in are usually around the Bridgeport area.
Oh.
Bridgeport, Stratford.
Really?
Guess where I'm
going. Milford. Yeah, that's usually where the winners are weighed in.
How does that work now? You know? Someone goes out on a charter with you and they catch a huge fish like that.
He throws them overboard.
And then takes
look what
fish.
I got. Yeah, I had no help at all.
Do you get part of what...
You mean the tuna, Chaz?
Yeah.
it's a federal law, so the tuna are highly regulated. So anything over 73 inches is considered a giant bluefin tuna, which either has to be sold or has to be let go.
Nice.
The customers can't bring them home because, you know, they'd have people driving around with 600-pound fish hanging out of a Honda Civic.
Right.
It's a waste.
So, a waste of that
beautiful fish.
I think I saw that once.
It'd be weird to see that in a Honda Civic, though.
Stinky, yeah.
Yeah. It's, Phil just said it right. It's such a gorgeous, beautiful fish. It's been around the world multiple times. You know, they
what
have
do you mean?
Either be sold.
The travelers?
It's actually been around the world?
Oh, my Lord.
They go on the Wanderer.
I caught two fish last year that were tagged from Madrid.
Wow.
Wow. I was going to say British accent. You pull it out.
Yeah, right.
I say, you've hooked me.
Australia.
I say, let me go at this moment.
Monocle and a mustache.
Odds bodkins, you've got to me.
Little top hat.
Yes. Little monocle.
A full-size bluefin, the tagging has showed us that a full-size bluefin has traveled the world in excess of 400 times in its life.
Whoa!
That's insane.
Damn.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of mileage.
Yeah.
A lot of exercise.
That fish that I'm looking at on your Instagram, how many cans of tuna fish do you think that would make?
At least one big one.
Well, you know, none of that's tuna fish, right?
Yeah, no, they don't chop that.
So tuna fish is actually albacore.
Albacore, yeah.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, totally separate fish.
It says on there albacore.
I give up.
Yeah. Really?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm with you,
albacore.
I throw down my stomach in disgust.
Most of these fish, it's like a backwards market that we tend to have. 90% of the bluefin that you eat in this country was caught here and sold to Japan, and then we buy it back from a market.
What?
This is why they travel back and forth so much.
That doesn't make sense.
It's incredible how backwards it is.
That seems like we're missing out.
It has to be a more streamlined process.
Key business strategy.
Yeah, we need an easier process here.
Yes, we do.
You know. Matt, before I let you go, you ever have, because you do this all the time, do you ever have a dream like a giant Billy Bass is on your wall like, yelling at you? Or
like a Sopranos fever dream?
Yes, you exactly.
You're dead.
Yeah.
No, I don't have time for dreaming because I don't get much sleep. I get about 4 to 5 hours a night.
Oh, wow, you're like me.
How old are you?
45.
Okay, you could still do that now.
I can still do that.
Years.
Yeah. There's a million ways that are easier to make a living than doing this.
Yeah. No, you do it for the love. This is not something you do for the money.
Right. I enjoy it. It's a great living when you get bigger at it. But it's a ton of work.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
but being out in that
boat, it's a lot of work.
And when it's just you and the waves and the sun,
your cup of coffee
and the breeze,
like a Maxwell House commercial.
Jesus, he just ruined that whole image.
I just paint a picture here.
All right, Matt, thanks for coming on. We appreciate
it, man.
How's your buddy who was swallowed by the whale? Is he okay now?
Mikey's back out there every day.
How's your chum?
Right now. Every day.
Yeah, does he have a nickname now? Do you call him Chum?
Hey, Chum.
Right? I mean, I bet he's got a GoPro on him now.
Seriously.
Right.
He puts like barbecue
sauce on. He didn't skip a beat. He got out of the hospital and he went right back out.
Nice.
I love every part of that story. And, you know, there's always haters, but he's just such a nice guy. You could tell from the interviews and stuff. And,
yep.
And what a surprise.
Oh, Mikey's such a great guy. He's such a genuine guy.
Yeah. And apparently not too tasty.
Yeah,
clearly he's tasty. Yeah. Matt Paracchio, the best charter captain on all of Cape Cod. We're linked up to his stuff on the website. Thank you, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.